You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome back to Bleach Boys. Bleach Thighs and Blubber, episode 33, Gate of the Sun. Really, Gate of the Renji. Gate right? of the Uryu. Incredible stuff this episode. God. Kubo and the staff of Puro Films. Once again, I'll say it again. Puro Films has done nothing but live up to my expectations, and I have complete faith in them. I would let them watch my baby at this point. Like, I have complete faith in them.
Dude, they've exceeded my expectations. I was just so like, how could they make it so much better? And then, bam. We get this.
It's just a great use of anime-only content. It's a great use to expand someone who we didn't really get to see too much of their powers. You know, Renji. We didn't know what his Bankai did. Prior to this, we thought Renji had like two attacks. Like that was he had like an insta-kill move that he uses on Master Masculine. His moves he was using was incredible.
So cool.
Loved it.
I was talking to Gabe in Discord about this fight, and I think we both came to the conclusion that if you had told me before the core started that we would all be talking about how sick, awesome Renji was, we would have told you to shut your lying mouth.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And it really did come all the way around where, like, this was something that people were speculating, rumors were flying, that in the opening it was going to be a Renji versus Uryu fight. This is something that they've been talking about since the opening dropped. And last week we got the poem for Renji, and that's what really set off the sirens. Like, okay, Renji's gonna do something next episode. It's gonna be crazy. And then this episode, it was amazing. It was
so good.
Better than I ever would have hoped for.
Oh my God.
And I gotta say, I'm gonna say it now at the front of the show. Even though Renji lost, I feel like this was an incredible showing for
him. It was a win for him. You know, if it was anyone but the Schutzstaffel gang, I think Renji would have won.
Yeah, Renji's good.
Totally would have
really,
won.
Really good.
He's and so good.
There's a nice little nod, nice little hint that Renji from the training scene that we got with Ichibe, he is still not even close to have mastered this Bankai. He has to charge for 20 seconds to even be able to like defeat an enemy according to Ichibe.
Yep.
So like he is still an amateur. All right. He's incredible.
So
don't forget he was unconsciously holding back.
Yep. True.
Oh, my God. We'll get into it.
All right.
Oh my
let's
God.
Kick it off from the beginning in classic Bleach Boys fashion. We're going to kick it off with a beautiful, cinematic, Lord of the Rings-esque, stunning shot of the Varvel.
Thank you.
Spinning
I
around the castle.
That in there.
The CG continues to just be, oh, chef's kiss.
It was so good.
So good.
You know how, like, you see people, and I mean, this is definitely on my Lord of the Rings TikTok, but people will make maps of Middle Earth out of like fucking Legos, or they'll make it. Someone make one of the
Varvel.
The Varvel. Yeah. Oh my God,
that'd be pretty cool. A Lego set of the Varvel. Although, if we're doing Lego sets of anything in Bleach, I need Soul Society. I need that in I am not a Lego person. Sorry, I don't identify as one of you folks that like to do Legos, but if there's a Soul Society Lego set, I'm fucking there.
Dude, that's going to take up this whole, like,
it will forever live on this table right here. Just a circular with all of the walls around there. I need an accurate sized Jadambo to put outside one of the walls, please.
It's going to be like this big. Yeah, then you're going to get the Sokioku Hill.
Yeah. Oh.
With the giant chicken.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Giant chicken. Well, it'll be like a regular sized chicken.
Well, because it'll be
scale. Yeah, you know, it'll be the scale. It'll be way back in there. I'm down. I'll pay multiple hundreds of dollars for it. I'm telling you right now. Give it to
me. Okay, Sam, two things. Number one, the first note I wrote was the castle is still majestic. Mm-hmm. Number two, I keep getting TikTok videos recommended to me that's just people making Bleach characters out of Legos.
There's one guy on Twitter that is constantly posting scenes of like, here's the for example, like last week they did the Ruruka and Orihime scene where like she's hitting Orihime with the little ears
flappies.
In Lego. I'm like, all right, cool. Like it's awesome. It's great. I love it.
And I gotta take the opportunity to say, I don't care about Lego, but I will die on the hill that is Bionicle.
So we cut back. So we're just getting this beautiful shot. This beautiful, beautiful shot of the Varvel. And then on top of a pillar in classic Yuha, Yugurm, Udyu fashion, they're all hanging out up there. The Schutzstaffel are hanging out up there. So we obviously, we have Gerard, we have Lilibaro, Pernida, Udyu, and Askin. The five boys are all hanging up there. Now, one thing I did think was very funny, as it's kind of circling around, Yuha's actually, you know, conducting them by name. He is talking about
really
them
cool
by
the
name.
Way the way he calls them.
There's like some Star Wars cinematic music playing the whole time this is going on. It was giving me the chills. I was like, this is so fucking good. And then I couldn't help but laugh when it got to Udyu, because everybody's like, Askin Delevar, Lilibaro, Gerard Valkyrie, whatever his name is. And then it goes to Udyu.
Gerard Valkyrie.
It goes, Udyu. Like, that's Udyu. It. He doesn't get his last name. Like, did he disown his father? What happened?
He's whatever Yuha's last name, Baha.
Ah, yeah, yes,
well,
yes.
Not his last.
Uryuba, yes, the Almighty. It's the perfect. It's like a stepson scenario, yeah, you know. And he's in between the name change process.
He's the next in line, so he doesn't get a last name, yeah, right?
You're right. You're right. You're right. He's just gonna adapt the family honors.
So, did you notice the little hint about the Sun Seal?
No.
So, in the manga, when they run into each of the individual Schutzstaffel, they're just there. They're all on top of the castle because it's surrounded by sun seals, so they can just get to wherever they need to go.
Oh, so they just teleport, right?
Yeah, the teleporting thing they did in this episode was really cool.
It's so
really,
sick.
Really cool.
Absolutely,
like, we literally
it.
That's our opening. They teleport away. It goes straight to the opening song. I'm like, that's
I
cool.
Was like, damn,
that's so cool. Like, what a great setup.
I was so excited. I can't wait to go back and rewatch this season and binge it.
Oh, dude.
I think this season so far will probably hold up the best. Okay, you know, I got to say, aside from season one, I think season one is still just the creme de la creme. It is such a good season. And in that, I think partially, a good amount is because the first arc of Thousand Blower in the manga was very good.
Yep.
So all they had to do was adapt that content, and it was incredible. And so it still holds up very, very well. But I think part three times two is better than part two instantly.
Absolutely. Not even a question.
So good. So good.
So once we cut back, we see Shun Sui look towards the I'm going to call them the Sternritter gang. Everybody's going to get a gang name here. They're Sternritter gang. And he's kind of like looking at them like, you going to come with us? And they're like, fuck no, we're not going to come with you guys. And like, we just wanted to ride up. We're out. And they do their cool shadow transportation thing, which, by the way, I don't love it as much as the Garganta sound, but I love the shadowy like, sound. Like the ticking noise almost.
It's
cool.
Like a metronome that was like ticking, and then you hear that little like sizzle.
Yeah, it sounded like a clock,
right? Like a clock, and then all of a sudden they like turn into shadow, and I was like, okay, that's fucking badass.
You know, like the magnetic balls that you throw into each
other,
and
that
it goes
clack.
Yeah. That's what it sounded like. That's what it sounded like. You had a clock sound behind it. Boom.
You guys aren't gonna get this, but when Dio uses the world and it slows down, and you just hear tick 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 tick. That's what I got from it.
That sounds so cool, though.
Okay. And then after this, we get a beautiful group shot of all of the Gotei 13, so we can finally see who's there. And all the way, and also, front and center in that shot, Mashiro. Mashiro mm-hmm. is there. They're still hanging out. Also, let's cut ahead for a second. Mashiro didn't get shot. Fantastic.
No, I
shocker.
I wrote in order of who got shot.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
And then we cut over to Ichigo's gang, and Yodoichi is alerting them, like, hey, can you sense that spiritual pressure? Like, everybody's heading towards the castle. And she rallies everybody else, like, let's go. Like, it's time to go towards the castle. We're storming this bitch. And everyone starts to run. And then we get this weird, like, awkward shot where Nell looks at Grimmjow, takes off, and then we just stare at Grimmjow for like 5 seconds from super far away while he just stands there.
He's contemplating. It's all so
I just like, man, did someone forget? Like, it was just enough time looking at Grimmjow that it began to get awkward.
It was a little weird. This is what my thought process was. So I'm like, if I was Grimmjow right now, I would be like, I could kill Ichigo pretty quickly from this angle.
Yeah, and then finally he's like, fuck it. Yeah, I'll just go with everybody.
All of a sudden, he's on the upper buildings. Mm-hmm. So cool.
Then we get a bunch of scenes of like everybody running, because it's like, cut here, someone's running. Cut here, someone's running. I'm just going to give a mention to the most important one that we got, was Omida and Hachi running together. I fucking love that. So incredible. In my heart, and now I know it's not going to happen because I just saw what happens a little bit later in this episode, I was really hoping Omida and Hachi were going to be like besties, you know? I was hoping they were going to be twinsies, man. Like, Omida was running like his life fucking depended on it. Hachi was doing fine. He was having a great time. I love the two of them together. I wish they would be besties. Obviously, that doesn't work out. And it's Urahara that notices, hey, like, Mayuri's gone. Like, where did Mayuri go? And Shunsui gives, like, the biggest, I don't really care response ever. He's like, huh. Like, that's basically it. Like, Shun Chi doesn't stop. He doesn't even give a fuck where he went. He's like, oh, yeah, you're right. And then just moves on. It cracked me up.
With Mayuri, it is better to just not ask questions at all.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, 100%.
And Shun Chi, as the head captain, knows that very well. He's like, oh, we're going to let him do his thing. Don't worry about it. He's fine. Like, even Zaraki says it coming up here. Let's get to it. Mayuri and Nemu. The crowd goes mild. Everybody shout.
Hold on. Okay,
we got the timestamp here.
Timestamp, hold on.
I'm ready.
Do you want me to just drop all the timestamps?
No, no. I mean, we'll do it as we go if you want. I mean, however you want to spice it up.
So she entered at 4:48 and is on screen till about 5:25.
Cool. Mark your guys' calendars if you guys are Nemu fans out there. So Mayuri and Nemu exit the gate in another location. And he's like, wow, this is very easy to reopen the gate and change the coordinates. And he's talking about how happy he is to not be around anybody, because now he can just really go and experiment and do what he wants. And he's like, they really are probably freaking out right about now that I'm gone. Really, nobody gives a fuck. But Kenpachi's like, ditto. Like, yeah, true.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like, I agree with that. And we get the funniest fucking reaction shot of Mayuri ever, which was in the manga. Loved shocked
Mayuri.
He
looks up at him.
So funny. And Kenpachi is like, man, you really saved me, because I went to use the restroom and they left me. Like it was closed.
He's just like, yeah, I went to go pee.
And then, what's also worth noting, by the way, in case you guys were wondering, is Kenpachi a dirty, degenerate animal? In that scene, we see Kenpachi washing his hands.
He's still a gentleman.
He's washing his hands. He's got a towel going. He's a clean, dirty freak, okay? We see Yumichika Ikaku come through, and then right next to them is Hanatoro. And Hanatoro looks fucking bothered. He's devastated
so
to be here. He didn't want to be here, not happy he got shoved in. And Kenpachi's like, isn't this great? Now we can all go all out. And Mayuri's like, I was thinking the same thing, because this might be the perfect time to exterminate some pests. And the two of them start going at it. One of my favorite lines is from Kenpachi during this exchange. And he specifically notes how happy he is to be here with Mayuri, because he knows Mayuri won't die easily, even if he cuts him in half.
Yep.
I'm like, all right. Like, I live for this buddy cop drama of Mayuri and Kenpachi. I'll watch a whole episode of it. Just go ahead and give it to me.
It's so good. I like that he name dropped Hanatoro's first name, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, oh, we're lucky we're in here, huh? And he's just like, no. Mm-hmm. And then we cut back to my woman, you know, 609.
Oh, 609. Perfect. 609, yeah. Yes, because Hanatoro begins looking for sympathy from everybody. Yep. He's like, man. Like, we shouldn't be here. Like, we should stop them. Mikaku's and Yumichika's like, nah. He's like, let's start going this way.
Go.
And Hanatoro looks towards Nemu and is like, how do you feel about this? She's like, I don't feel.
I love that response.
I was like, I don't feel. All right, cool. And then they all just fucking take off.
That's me at work.
Oh, good. Yeah, just turn the feelings off. Drive right through. We then go to Orihime and Ichigo, where they are also running towards the castle. And Orihime is talking to Ichigo about how she wishes they were able to meet up with Rukia and Renji. And Ichigo casually drops here, yeah, it's going to be harder to do because they can't create footholds anymore. So this is just a nice, cute way of, one, we get more Ichigo and Orihime scenes. And two, they are like, we also have figured out that we cannot create footholds, just so everybody's on the same page. This leads to a cut scene from the manga. There is it's like one panel that was cut from the manga, but it was very funny. There's a scene of Ichigo, or I believe it's Orihime, kind of talking about, oh, like, man, we can't create footholds. And then we see that Ichigo had done the same exact thing that Yushiro did and attempted to jump off the ledge to go run towards Rukia and Renji. And it was Chad that saved him and pulled him back up. And Ichigo is like, hey, well, you would do the same thing if you sense their spiritual pressure. It's like,
yep.
Oh, okay, so good. So, so good.
Also, like, what the fuck, man? Orihime's physics were insane.
Oh, yeah. People kept posting.
People kept posting about
that in the live watch when I was doing it. It's like, did you notice Orihime? Did you notice Orihime? I'm like, oh, God.
I was just like, oh, my God. So my wife came downstairs, and I was mid-muffin because I was having a muffin this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes like, well, God damn, those things are fucking huge. Look at the way they're jiggling. And I was just like, yeah.
Yep. And then same thing when they were like running through probably this scene, when they were running through the Varvel, and everybody, like, now Nell is up on the ledge also running, and you just get the angle of just her ass. It's just like the costume that Nell is wearing is just so revealing for her booty. Kisuke was just on one.
He was just like, yes.
Mm-hmm. So this is a perfect opportunity. We're going to make everybody look really fantastic. Here you go.
Is Kisuke like secretly a tailor?
Kisuke is like Kubo's self-insert character, you know? Yes. Like, he also wants to be a fashion designer in another life. And then we see your boy Grimjo as well. He's just a parkour master, like, doing fucking flips.
I was like, the fuck?
I kind of felt like I was watching the Spider-Man show at Disney, when they're on top of the Avengers campus, and he's, like, flipping over the vents, and he's doing all this. I was like, oh, all right,
Grim. Some would say he's very cat-like.
True. And then we see Grimjaw's like, hey, I'm going to fucking go ahead. Fuck you guys. And he jumps away. And she's like, wait, there's somebody up there. We see it's our boy Asken. Love Asken. And Asken is like upset. He's like, man, I got Ichigo's group. He's like, damn. Fuck. And before he can even like really react, Grimjaw is up in his fucking face attempting to slash him. Just destroys the whole building that Asken was standing on. Asken, of course. He's like, he sees Grimjaw, like, stop, and then just immediately it's over. Gerard now, he is off on his own. We see Gerard, he's like, run towards the edge of him. He sees nobody. There's fucking nobody here.
So he got teleported and just ran a straight line. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to run into something.
Gerard's like, I'm going to go this way. Somebody's going to see me. He gets to the edge and then he doesn't find anybody. So he screams out, I'm here. Come get me. I'm here. Like, dude, this fucking Gerard guy. Which is good to know where Gerard is. We know where Gerard is at this point.
That scene of him happens like halfway through the next volume.
Damn.
Yeah, I had a really hard time reading this one because we've talked about this before. If you guys don't know the schedule, every Friday before the anime comes out, I do a live stream where we read the manga. So that way we can really see what the differences between the manga and the anime are going to be. And it's always a little bit of a guessing game as to where the anime is going to end because who knows? Who knows? With so much new added content, who knows? Now, at that point, there were a lot of rumors. I don't think it had been officially leaked yet, but people were talking about that there is a big anime-only fight with Renji and Uryu. So immediately, I knew, I was like, dude, how the fuck am I going to know where this goes? And a lot of people were saying that there's no BASB. Like, there's no, like, any of that stuff gone. So it's hard now. It's really hard with how they're doing this stuff. And this is actually a good point to talk about a recent interview. So this interview actually got released before this episode came out. And it was with the series composer. And he was talking about some of his thoughts on Thousand Year Blood War Part 3, how his relationship with Kubo is, how his favorite character, so on and so forth. But the most interesting tidbit from that interview was him talking about a lot of the organization of the core comes from this series director. The series director for Thousand Year Blood War Part 3, he makes the decisions and the storytelling, and he streamlines everything that's going on. He said, but one of the things that he has noticed with the way that he is telling the story, from this point forward, the back end of Core 3 is going to be very different organizationally from the manga.
Ooh, so everything's just shuffled around.
And
right
so
now.
He said that the way that he has seen the composition for the series and how it's set up so far, the director is going for a much more almost like a simultaneous kind of war feeling where he wants all of the fights to feel like they're happening all at the same time.
Ooh,
so he plans to do a lot of jumping around from fight to fight to fight to fight. That way it sets up like, hey, this is a war. You know, like all of this stuff is happening all at the same time.
You seen Dunkirk?
I have not seen Dunkirk.
Okay, so I believe it does a very similar thing where it starts showing you events and then it all plays out together at the same time once it like comes at the end.
Yeah, so that's what they're going for with this, where they said they're going to cut from fights to fights, fights, fight, so that way you get the feeling that they're all happening all at the same time.
I like that. That's actually really cool.
It can be really cool if it's well done. It kind of reminds me of like old school shonen anime back in the day where you would have five fights going on and they would jump back and forth. See like a little bit, it would jump to the next one. You'd see a little bit, it would jump to the next one. It can be really good if it's well done. So I'm looking forward to it.
Does it remind you a bit of a Fate Karakura Town?
Yeah, a little bit.
So Sam, if you feel fine about it, please feel free to post the picture I sent both of you in Instagram. When I was going through this episode, I had three volumes of manga open, just jumping back and forth.
Because it
was crazy. I wrote down when stuff happens to show you just how crazy the jumping back and forth is. And just it's better, period.
Yeah, I was reading it, and we were going through, like, I was reading into the beginning of the Yugen versus Basby, and someone comes in and goes, why are you reading this? Jumped three chapters ahead. That's what it adapts next. I'm like, dude, like, what?
How was he supposed to know?
I haven't seen the episode, but, like, how am I gonna come back to this? Like, that's going to be so confusing. So it's almost better at this point where, like, you almost need to read everything that's going to happen in Core 3. I would probably go up to, like, Shunsui versus Lillibarro and kind of do that one. And then you would have a good grasp on what's happening because it's really anybody's game now. We cut over to Basby, Lil Toto, Giselle. Somebody in the stream, by the way, said Giselle's looking very cute this episode. Do with that information what you will. That didn't come from me. And they're all...
Some people got
to
type.
Love Giselle. Yeah.
Yeah,
like
sure, sure. And they have all reappeared on a building, and they're kind of talking about, you know, the layout is different, but they have still appeared very close to where they wanted to be. And we see Basby's like, you know, we're going to take down Yuha, and we're going to take down Hoshwath. And we see Yugrim looking at the magic glowing red ball that we've seen. I feel like we saw it in the trailer that we've seen that, and we're still just waiting to see, you know,
I wonder what it is.
What he's going to do with that thing.
I can answer that. This is 100% lore confirmed. That is a giant polymerization magic card. Ugruf
Oh, goody.
Nice.
He is attempting to fuse Twin-Headed Thunder Dragon. I don't know if he's going to get it off, though.
Okay. He's kind of like Bandit Keith.
Fingers crossed, guys. Yeah. Oh, well, Bandit Keith's a dirty cheater. All right. So Ugrim has not shown that he's a cheater. We cut to Grimmjow now, who's like, hey, one down, boys. Like, we're already zooming through it. And we get the most hilarious scene of the fucking episode. Askin jumps up and bolts away so goddamn fast.
He runs like a fucking cat.
Yeah.
You know
he
what I'm talking about,
so
right?
So fast.
Yeah.
He gets up, and I swear they like sped up the part with Askin because he goes, boom, like he's fucking gone.
I do love that interaction with Ichigo and Grimmjow after. He's like, you let him get away.
Yeah. And Grimmjow just takes off after him. And Askin, like, while he's running, he's like, hey, if you promise not to kill me, I'll stop. Like, you got to promise. And Grimmjow's like, I never said I was going to kill you, but if you're weaker than me, you're going to end up dead.
He's like, you're going to die.
And Askin's like, I'm not going to take that offer. Like, thank you. Just keeps fucking running. And Askin's like, hey, you know, like, I'm not here to kill you guys, or I'm not here to fight you guys. I'm just here to kill you guys. You know, it's all good. And it's like, if I do it sneakily, that's better for me. Like, I don't really want to have this fight. And Askin's like, honestly, who even are you? And he's like, oh, well, I'm an enemy of Ichigo.
Enemy of Ichigo's.
And Askin's like, great. Like, that's great news.
The
like,
finger
we,
guns
like let's work together
time.
And kill him. And Grimmjow, obviously not going to take that. And he does the fucking coolest thing, like coats his hand in that black stuff and becomes
Panther Claws.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He uses, what is it, armament hockey.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yeah. Sir. He puts armament hockey in the form of Panther Claws to run even fucking faster after Askin.
He's doing that leap. I was like, oh, yeah. I need that figure.
Yeah, and Grimmjow's like, I'm going to kill you guys both. And then we cut to Ichigo in the game. They're fucking exhausted, out of breath, and they're looking at this fork in the road. And Ichigo's like, we've lost him. Like, Grimmjow's gone. We have no fucking idea. And this is where we get the scene that Pythies have been waiting for a long fucking time, of Askin taking a break to just sip on his little coffee.
He's pouring himself a cup of Joe.
Mm-hmm.
It is, Sam, it is something you kept going to last night reading the manga. Askin just does not want to be here.
Yeah.
And we get the most Tom and Jerry scene ever of he's pouring coffee and Grimmjow is already behind him. It killed me. I almost died.
He's annoyed by this whole thing, and he's like, Ichigo and gang, they suck. That fucking weird guy has been
chasing me around. God damn.
And he's like, I'm going to take a break and take a little. He says it's a cafe au light. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. I had to Google it because I was like, you know, I kind of thought at first he was just pouring a latte.
I'm sure
that's just kind of what it is. But I'm like, let me take a quick, because they've said a very specific drink. So a cafe au light, don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but it is a coffee drink originated in France, and it's made with equal parts hot coffee and steamed milk. So different from a latte, by the way, I have a little bit of Starbucks experience, boys. A latte is espresso and milk. It's about two shots of espresso, and then you fill the rest up with milk, with steamed milk. So this is equal parts coffee and steamed milk, so not the espresso.
He brought a thermos with him.
Yeah, he knew what he was going to do the whole time.
It's like when they're getting ready to teleport out, Asin's like shoving fucking coffee supplies.
That's why his pants are so baggy.
They're pockets.
Sense.
At this point, Grimmjow is standing behind Askin while he's doing this whole thing. And without even looking back, like Askin just immediately, he feels Grimmjow's there and just fucking bolts again. He just takes off. And as they're running, Askin's like, hey, like, I have a gift for you. And Grimmjow's like, fuck your gift. Like, I don't want your fucking gift. And he shoots this like floating purple ball. And Grimmjow's like, no way I'm fucking falling. That for that and breaks it, slash it, because of course he's Grimmjow, he's gonna fucking break it.
But it's just like, I feel like that would be a natural reaction, is to like swat it away.
Yeah, but it was basically like when he swatted it, it was like glass almost. Yeah, like he hit it and shattered. It instantly broke, and Grimmjow just like tenses up like he's been frozen and falls to the ground. Like one of his little legs is up.
He's got the
right
one
there.
Leg sticking up, and I'm like, oh, that's fucking hilarious.
And Askin's like, oh, sorry. When I said a gift, I meant like a gift laced with poison. My bad.
Mm-hmm. He's so catty.
It is so catty. So catty. And we cut over to the Lillibarro scene here. People are going to start dropping like flies. Very heartbreaking moment here.
All right, so should I mention the skips?
Yep, go for it.
Okay, so first off, the Tom and Jerry scene with Grimmjow and Askin happens in volume 70. We're not done with 69 yet. 69 is like, we're not done with the Basby Ugrim fight starts like right then. And let's see, the sniper scene happens a fourth of the way through volume 70. And then we don't pick back up with it until 71.
Damn.
Okay.
We're bumping three different volumes in one episode. That's crazy.
Yeah, like I sat down to watch the episode, and I pulled out my manga, and then it switched. And I went, God. So I came up and got the next volume, and I got a bit further. And I had to come back to my room and get another volume. And I'm sitting here with three volumes of
You're just
manga.
like,
Like,
great.
where do I stop? I almost grabbed all of them just in case.
Just like cover your
You're like,
bases.
all right,
No,
I
that's
gotta have
good.
the rest of them.
All right, so now we get to watch A Hero Rise. My wife and sister-in-law get glocked.
Yeah. All right.
Oh
So
my
Lil
God.
Lobaro is watching everybody up in a tower through his cool little sniper scope. And I kind of like the explanation that he was giving ahead of times. And he's watching them run. And you kind of see just the feet of people as he's running. But he's talking about how that as they run more and more, they actually naturally begin to split up due to the different factors that are beginning to kind of slow some people down, such as the change in the environment, the previous injuries they've sustained. So you kind of see it as he's going and everybody's a little bit further back. It starts thinning out the pack. And then he eyes up Shuhei and just immediately blasts him.
I didn't know he was slower than Omida.
Yeah. Just immediately blasts Shuhei. And then Omida,
good
of
guy,
all people.
Omida. Let's just say,
everybody
good guy.
Freaks out. And Omida's the first one to turn and go running towards Shuhei. And I got to give, you know, this is a heartbreaking moment because Omida gets fucking shot. You know, spoiler. But Omida, my man, like, we got to have a pep talk. Basic military interaction, basic game attack, zigzag, brother, zigzag. You're going so slow. You're such a big target. Like, and also the CG for him running was horrible, by the way. Special note. But they're just like watching Omida just like run as slow as possible to get Shuhei. I'm like, oh, he's gonna get shot, Omida. Like, what are you doing? Like, he should have at least
remember. We saw him struggling. We saw him struggling when he was running in front of Hachi. So he was already dead tired. But the hero. Our hero, my hand is on my heart right now. Omida risked his life because he had to go back and save his friend, Shuhei.
When in reality, Omida probably saw this as the perfect reason for him not to run anymore.
He was like, probably like, if I go back and try to heal him and maybe hide somewhere, I'm good. I'm good for the rest
like,
of the
Somebody's
got
to watch him. Somebody's got to watch him while
he's
in.
Make sure he's alive. Mm-hmm.
Well, to be fair, a healer did go with him.
True. So Omida gets shot. Beautiful, lovely, good guy. We love Omida. And next is Kyone.
Yep.
And
my sister-in-law.
Kyone had the most gruesome shot of them all.
Right through
Dude,
the
it was
like,
rough.
Ooh, through the chest, blood starts coming out of her mouth. I'm like, oh, that's brutal. Like, someone on the animation team did not like Kyone. He's like, why is that bitch even there? And they
poor
just,
Kyone. Yeah.
And then Shunsui, at this point, he's like, we're being targeted. Everybody run. Like, honestly, no fucking shit.
Out of
Shunsui.
The first one, like, you didn't think we
like
shit.
No shit.
But I mean, he did it really fast, so you know.
And then Pythi's wife, Isane, gets shot. And, you know, we talk about the animators probably hate Kyone, but they definitely hate Sentaro more as he gets shot and falls off screen. Like, you don't even fucking see him.
And this, by the way, I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent, is where we can say, like, the death portraits that Kubo draws are full of shit.
Yes. Okay. Great point, Pythi's.
Yeah.
Because after this episode airs, we get the death portraits of Renji, we get the death portraits of Shuhei, we get the death portraits of Isane and Kyone, and then we get the death portrait of Omida. Like, we now know, 100% confirmed, the death portraits don't mean fucking shit in season three. Season three is all
out of the water.
It's gone.
Yep.
Which means Robert's coming back, baby. Sound the horns. He's coming back.
He's gonna somehow cling on to life.
Mm-hmm.
Robert is gonna come back a changed man. He's half cyborg now. He was rebuilt by my Yuri, and he's going to come back and he's going to realize that Yuha's full of shit. He's going to heal everybody that Lobaro shot, and then he's going to fight Yuha and take him down.
Do we want to talk about the discovery, the revelation that you and I made while we were reading the manga, Pythies, of a potential moment for them to off Robert in the anime?
Go ahead.
So I was doing my manga read through, and we got to the part of Basby versus Yugram. And one of the things, as Basby is talking to Yugram, Yugram is kind of like, why are you here, Basby? And Basby has to explain what the Oshawellan did to everybody down below. He's like, that shit was fucked up. You knew it was going to happen. Well, he was trying to ask Yugram, did you know? And Yugram's like, you wouldn't believe me if I told you no. And he's like, fuck you. And then we see all these images of the Stern Ridders dying that we saw in the manga. And they revisited Robert, getting his
they're just gonna pop
absolute
it in
face ripped off. Dude. If they put that in the anime of that moment, Yugram versus Basby, and Basby has a memory or like starts reimagining what happens and we see the death of Robert, I'm going to be fucking baffled that they put that in. I'll be insane.
I can still have hope if that happens because that'll just be Basby imagining. He didn't actually see it. Was he there?
We're still in denial, gang.
If
We're
I
still
don't...
Unless it's like literally they re... I think it would be cool if they did go back now, this is a little morbid. Okay, so I say cool in the sense of I would like to see it. I do think it would be cool if they go back and we kind of get almost like a D-Day montage, like people like storming Normandy, but it's like the Ashwellen happening, and we kind of get like this zooming camera shot that goes through, and we just see like everybody fucking screaming and just like this stuff happening. It's like really tense. And then we see Robert there. I'll take it.
Robert's the last one.
Hey, Robert's coming to Bleach Brave Souls, boys. Yeah, Robert's coming to Bleach Brave Souls. Everybody, get your arms up. Also, Basby's going to be the same banner. But fuck Basby. Let's get Robert, boys.
Unless I see a skeleton with a mustache, he's not dead.
Amen. So after this beautiful, horrible, horrific sniping moment, we see Renji. Renji is also running. He doesn't want to get sniped. And we see a couple of arrows all of a sudden shoot towards Renji, and he blocks them. And they're different arrows from Lillibarros. And who is it but Uryu? Uryu is there shooting at Renji. Ooh. And we get a bunch of reaction shots. Everybody reacting that, like, that's Uryu. And it's Rukia that's like, that's spiritual pressure. Mm-hmm. And then we see that it's Uryu. And Renji doesn't waste a goddamn second. He immediately running towards him, jumping off the buildings, and gets close enough to Uryu and says, roar, and extends his sword into Zabimaru form. And just as Uryu extends his arrow, he was able to kind of dodge, and it nicks his cheek. And Renji just goes, what's up, Quincy? I'm like, oh, like, so good. So, and this is the middle of the episode, by the way. This is when we get the eye catchers.
There was just so much in that first half already. Oh, yeah. Gosh.
They did a really good job of, I feel like, setting up the pieces that are in play. One of the big things that we saw with the Lillibarro moment is that he separated everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he really did split the pack. And that's huge. Obviously, we need to write some people off. We need to see where people are going. Oh, I should have gone back. We should try. We should try and rewatch that scene and see if we could track where Mashiro went.
Yeah.
We should see if we can see in that scene. You think so?
She has to be, right?
I don't know. Jose, she could be with anybody. She could be Hachi. She could be with the other
Visors. She could be with Hachi. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Would like to point out, he took out the healers.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Smart two move. Of the three, and not Hanatoro. Good thing Hanatoro's in the other squad. He's going to come in clutch.
He's going to be the champion, babies.
Momo can kind of heal, and I think Hachi can heal a little bit. But, like, the healers, the squad four healers, gone. Mm-hmm. So now every which injury maybe this that is a, this is going to be way more impactful.
Well, maybe this will be a really good reason to explain why Hanatoro was co-lieutenant or third seed or whatever he ends up becoming, because he'll be this hero moment where he's healing everybody and bringing them all back. He's good to go.
I mean, he healed Ichigo in like a single night in Soul Society. That was after he got like gouged up like crazy after the Renji fight.
That's so impressive. And he did it in the sewers, right?
In the sewers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He fought off bacterial infection to make sure Ichigo could do cool shit later.
Yep, that's right. He's the real hero.
We wouldn't be where we are today without Hanatoro. All
right, so let's go back to that Renji thing. So Uryu 100% targeted Renji to make sure Lillibarro wasn't going to get to shoot him, right?
Dude, I didn't think of that, Pythies. That's an incredible thought. That's an incredible thought.
He's got to save his friend.
He's like, Uryu needs to get information, and we'll get to that. I know you guys have thoughts. He needs to get information to the squad. There's one of them. He's in a group that's being sniped. If I attack him, he'll attack me, and then I can have evasive language.
That's an incredible thought, Pythies. I pieced together, obviously, the next part that we're going to talk about. I did not piece together that he purposely targeted Renji to save him from Lillibarro. Incredible.
I think not only that, like, Renji, it would absolutely work on because he's a hothead and will just charge ahead. And like Rukia would maybe have dodged or, you know, gone into a different situation trying to hide in some buildings. Renji's just, like, right up on it.
He picked his buddy, dude. That's his buddy. They got their asses kicked together a bunch of times.
Yeah, they're war buddies.
By the way, scene of Renji, like, parkouring up the buildings to attack Uryu was sick.
Yeah, they're still best buds all the way to the end. So before we go further than that, though, quick shout-out to the mid-episode eye catchers. We get one on the Varvelt, and we get one on Askin Naklevar. Do not know what they say, aside from there's something about the death dealing in it, because that's in English. So we'll get those translations to you on our Twitter. So make sure you follow us at the Weebs Guild. With that, the rest of the episode is pretty much all Renji versus Uryu. I think it is 100% Renji versus Uryu, aside from another brief interaction with Kenpachi Mayuri.
Yep.
So it's going to be nothing but gas from this point on. Now, let's take a good stopping point. If you guys haven't already, of course, make sure you leave a like and subscribe to the video. Let us know. This is going to be a good little stopping point. I asked this on the live. I'm going to ask this now on the podcast. Out of the 6 episodes that are now out, I think we're on 6, right?
6.
Where does this rank for you in Bleach Sizey Blubber Part 3? Is this... I've seen a lot of people saying a 10 out of 10 episode. Somebody said a 100 out of 10 episode. Is this now your number one episode of the whole season? Is this your number two episode? A lot of people are saying that they actually like this fight much better than the Ichigo versus Uryu fight. So I'm interested to know where this would rank for a lot of you guys. So let us know in the comments down below. And then if you haven't already, make sure you guys join the Discord. We've been having so many new people join the Discord. It's been such a good time. Everybody's having a good time in there. Gabe's arguing with people. Somebody fucking cracked me up the other day. Gabe was arguing with somebody so much, and somebody went to the Weaves Guild channel and was like, hey, I get what you guys were saying about Gabe. I'm going to flag him as a troll so I don't interact with him next time.
No.
Hilarious. No. Hilarious. Love it.
I don't know, man. I've had nothing but fun interactions with Gabe.
Yeah, I like to go in there and just read everyone's comments, especially when they're all going off. I was just like, oh, that's fucking hilarious.
They were having a really good debate, and I believe the person that said that was Aizen Solos. So in the Discord, it was Aizen Solos. Him and Gabe got into an argument talking about Halible, and they were talking about if Halible was, really strong. Did Aizen kill the Espada because Halible wasn't strong enough? What was the reasoning behind that? And they're going back and forth, and Aizen Solos had the fucking funniest rebuttal to Gabe, and he just said something along the lines, so you think Aizen killed her because she won? it fucking cracked me up. So, if you'd like to participate, join the Discord. And if you guys want to have even more Weebs Guild and Bleach Boys content in your life, of course, you can support us on Patreon. Every Bleach Boys release an extra 15 minutes of content exclusively for the Patreon, as well as you guys get the full uncensored reaction for the episode every week as it happens. No cuts, no censoring of the episode, and the full discussion that happens a lot of times. A lot of times when I watch the video, I end up streaming for probably about a full hour, and we have a very long discussion afterwards. Most of that gets cut out for YouTube because a lot of it is extra stuff that we go over in the podcast, and I really cut it down to a brief video for YouTube because attention spans and all that stuff. But if you have a long attention span, you would love to see the full discussion of the episode as it happens, patreon.com/weebsguild. All of that is in the description down below. No matter where you're watching, check the description. It'll be there for you. All right. We ready to talk. Renji versus Udyu. We get the iconic, the Jose quote where Renji's like, hey, the new cape on you looks fantastic. Looks really good. And Renji's like, I just want to ask to be sure. You're not here to guide me to the castle, are you? And Udyu full on ignores the question. And Udyu tells him that the Soul Reapers have no future up ahead. You can't defeat his majesty who's absorbed the Soul King and gained all of his powers. And Renji is shocked to hear this. He's like, absorb the Soul King's powers?
Yeah, thus letting them know, hey, this is what's up with you, huh?
And Renji asks one more question. And he says, have you come across Ichigo? And Udyu says, I killed him. Or so I thought, but I forgot how stubborn he was.
Letting them know Ichigo is alive.
And then Renji, he's just like, nope, that's all I need to hear. I'm going to smash that castle and the boss of the Quincy. And then this begins the fight. Before we go too far, let's dissect him. Or Pythes have been talking about this whole time. Renji is, I love this discussion between Udyu and Renji because it is 100% something that we talked about time and time again. When we went to the event in LA and Hollywood, they brought it up there. This is something that's so clearly shown that, and actually have Kubo gave a comment on this episode. Kubo's comment on Club Outside about this episode is that the most important line in this week's anime episode is probably, did you meet Ichigo? Mm-hmm. Which is that question Renji asked to Udyu. Did you meet Ichigo?
Have you seen him?
And that really sets up a lot of things. And that's a lot of information that's given. Obviously, we now know Yuha absorbed the Soul King. He has all of his power. Udyu trying to tell him, hey, you guys cannot take him. Fall
He's
back.
He's literally absorbed everything.
And he also tells Renji, Ichigo's alive, which they knew. They sense the spiritual pressure. But, I didn't kill him. He's alive. He's good to go, you know. So much information in such a brief amount of time. And we see later in the fight, obviously, the reason why we had to be so obtuse about this is Yugram is still fucking watching Udyu from up on his fucking castle edge, which is crazy.
He's Sauron.
So, really well done character interaction here. I love the double meaning that's happening. And I think that scene of Renji being shocked to hear that information is to really drive home the fact that they didn't really know for sure until then. Obviously, Aizen has kind of alluded to it in another.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Their anime only scene, and now Renji has full confirmation that this has happened, and that's where we kind of get the hint, nudge, nudge. Uryu's out here helping. So this begins the battle of Renji versus Uryu. There's so many moves to talk about here. It is so incredibly well animated. They fight or starts on this like Quincy sigil fountain that just everything is a Quincy sigil in this fucking place. And Renji's in Shikai full on throwing hands with Uryu, just like so full on in his face. Goes Bankai So-O Zabimaru. And it takes like 2 seconds to pop Bankai. Like Bankai, boom. And I like this part also because a lot of times as a viewer, it's a little hard to remember. Uryu's not seen this Bankai before. We as a viewer have seen it. It was cool. It was awesome. And Uryu's like, is that a new Bankai?
That's new. Come on, buddy.
I totally forgot that he had seen it. And this fight has so many damn explosions all over the place. It really drives home Renji's Bankai and how powerful it is now.
Not just that, but it's just like, it's a, definitely an extension of a Shikai because you see him use a very similar technique. And it kind of brings back the old Bankai in certain aspects. It does. But a smaller
I mentioned know you guys' opinion because I obviously think the Bankai was really cool. We got a great showing here. I kind of got the vibe that Renji's Bankai is entering Komamura Bankai territory. So actually Komamura Shikai territory, where he is able to kind of have this additional hand that also brings a big sword. And that is what kind of Renji's Bankai was very reminiscent to me of when he started using it. Like the old Bankai is like, okay, now he just has a monkey hand and he's controlling the old school Zabimaru with.
Which I thought was super cool. Just like whacking it around everywhere.
Yeah, it was cool, but it very reminiscent. I feel like they wrote off Komamura and they're like, Renji, my guy, like we got a great power for you.
I think it goes to show. So the explanation for how his Bankai was, he awakened it too early. It was kind of a pity Bankai because he needed to save Rukia right now. It just goes to show the evolution is this is what it was supposed to be because it can do everything.
Yo, it is insane. It's also a fire
it's
affinity.
It's so
Bankai.
Cool.
I don't know. So we were talking about that in our live watch, and people are saying like it's a fire Bankai. It's a fire Bankai. It's a fire Bankai. Because he heats up the sword. He basically shoots a fireball at one point. Like, I almost took it as more, it's more of like an energy-based Zanpakuto, kind of similar to, let's say, Ichigo's, where he just is constantly shooting off this.
Concentrates it, and so he concentrates to heat up
Because he, can see that he does a lot of stuff, but also he does use fire a lot. Like, I mean, he does like a fucking spirit bomb of fire at one point, which was crazy. So I would be interested to know if he does now fall into the flame category or what category he falls into now.
Maybe just as Bankai, though, because the Shikai doesn't use heat.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And that's what's interesting. And also, if it was more of like an energy-based one, that would fall more into his brute force and is constantly like using energy over and over again. But, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. He did a lot of fucking fire in this.
Well, I mean, I would say like it has to be fire just because, to me, energy is more keto-esque, and we all know Renji is horrible at keto, and he hates that shit.
True.
Yeah, that's true.
Very true.
And
very
I think
true.
We've seen with Yama, we've seen with pretty much all fiction, fire is always a thing that sort of represents a wild heart, wild nature, sort of uncontrolled fury and passion. And Renji is a brute force fighter, so like he's not going to get an elegant ice type like Rukia. He's going to get a thing that hurts real bad.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just the way he uses both the arm and the rest, like, well, what do we call the snake head?
Well, I like that he kept swapping between, like, his new version where it had the sword coming out of the snake head and then also changing it back to the old, like, Shikai Zabimaru constantly, and he could use it to extend, and he'd still have the little fucking daggers all over it. I love that he kept swapping it up, which also makes it a very dangerous Bankai that he's able to, like, change its form constantly.
It's such a good Bankai as well because it's, like, it gives him a lot of range, but if you come in close, you get the giant monkey hand that's just going to wreck you.
And you can also just go back to bringing the regular sword out of his other hand where now he has a close range sword. So it's very versatile in this form, and it's so good. They did such a good job of showing what the power of Renji's Bankai is going to be, and it was a beautiful example of how we can kind of show new powers without affecting the story too much.
Yeah,
it was a good addition.
Like, after the stream, me and Gabe were talking about it, and we both came to the conclusion that like, all right, fine, god damn it, Renji's cool. I accept that Renji's cool now. We were both talking trash about Renji like a month ago.
So very quickly at the beginning of this fight, we get that comment from Uryu where he's getting smacked around all over the place and destroying buildings. And Uryu says that Renji's reliance on brute force is really fucking annoying. Like, he's kind of done with it. And this is where Uryu shoots an arrow at him, and Renji fucking kicks it away with his foot.
That's the one I'm talking about. Oh my
that's
god.
Insane.
He jumps up, and he's coming up, like, what would you call that top part of your foot? But yeah, basically the top part of his foot catches the arrow as it's touching it and just manages to deflect it up.
That feat, F-E-A-T and F-E-E-T, was incredible. Was so cool. And that's
we call that disrespect.
Yeah. Yes. And this is where Renji, we see the first instance of him kind of beginning to heat up the sword, and then he thrusts towards Uryu, and it misses Uryu, of course, but it melts the whole building as, like, he digs a hole through it. It was so cool.
Still, even when he shot it and it, like, dispersed the arrow, I thought that was even crazier. Yeah. I was
and
like,
then ooh. Right from that move, we get Leaked Reagan. Classic move. Leaked Reagan. And Renji, I honestly thought Renji was going to get shot here a lot because I didn't think this move was going to work. But Renji just holds up his big fucking monkey paw to block everything, and it worked. He didn't get hit. Renji did a great job. And this is when Renji whips his arm around, and just from him, like, kind of shaking the arrows off, the force of the attack shoots Uryu back. I'm like, dude, Renji is so powerful.
I'm like, damn.
It also exploded buildings.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
Renji's force with that fucking monkey paw is strong.
It was giving me flashbacks to, like, when Ichigo in Vasto Lore form, and he, like, summons his sword and swings it, and it breaks part of the top.
Oh, totally. Yes. Totally. That's so cool.
I was like, oh my god.
The chills. Right.
Here's the big debate in the comments. Could this Renji beat Okiura?
Okay, let me think. I'm trying to think in my head right now of destructive forces that we've seen compared to the two. I think he would do it hands down.
His attacks, I think, could beat Okiura. Could he take any of Okiura's attacks? Because Okiura was throwing, like, nukes with those spears.
I think it's really hard to say that right now, because especially even with the fight that we got with Renji versus Uryu, Renji was defeated by a very pinpoint attack. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we didn't really get to see what Renji's true durability was in terms of taking a beating, because Uryu shot, like, a super fucking precise shot, like, right at his heart, you know? And that was the defeat of Renji. Where, meanwhile, we saw a lot of Uryu's durability, a lot, where... Without a doubt, obviously, this is in a debate.
That's stupid blue vein.
Uryu would take Okiura in a heartbeat. It'd be fucking game over. Renji, I still think, would take Okiura, because I think a lot of the people now, in the terms of Thousand-Year Blood War, and especially people that went and trained with Squad Zero, I would say they are close, if not at par, with a lot of the Squad Zero members. They're in striking distance, is what I want to say. Yeah. They are at striking distance with the Squad Zero people. They obviously, their Bankais aren't shaking the realms, so they're not nearly as powerful.
They're not broken like Squad Zero.
But I would say they are high-level captain people, and I think with Renji's versatility that we saw here, a big discussion, I think we had this discussion before on Bleach Boys, a big discussion with Okiura is one that he could fly. And that's a very big advantage, you know, and obviously we see with Ichigo and Yuha, they are zipping now, you know, with the footholds that are in the sky. And we see Renji jumping off of buildings and using his sword to pull himself closer. I think Renji would stomp the floor with Okiura.
We got to remember, Okiura also cannot control his Lanza de Relampago thing. He still misses. He straight up said, I don't have full control over this.
Okay, interesting. Renji also, like, he has, like, crazy range capabilities too.
Mm-hmm. And if Renji did grab onto Okiura, he could just destroy his organs. I think Okiura straight up said, can't regenerate my organs, but I can regenerate limbs.
And I feel like with Renji, the biggest downfall that we had before for him is one that his Bankai is very stationary for the most part. You know, there were times, I think, in maybe a movie where he rode his own Bankai, you know, so that's kind of fucking crazy. He's playing Slither.io at that point. But I think this one now is so mobile where I don't think Renji would have a problem.
Yeah, I agree.
I know I brought it up, but how crazy is it that in the year of our Lord, 2024, we're having a conversation about Renji versus Okiura, and the answer isn't completely obvious.
Yep.
Yep.
At this point, we get a questionable move when I was watching this one. Renji has, like, whipped Uryu back from the force of that last attack, and Renji then changes his thing into the giant snake, the classic kind of Bankai form that we've known since day one, and he uses it to grab a fucking piece of rock and takes the rock up and smashes Uryu upside the fucking head with it, and then he bites Uryu. I was like, dude, like, what did I? It's almost like, you know, you see those videos where somebody, I think the word is peacefully that I'm looking for, but they knock out the mice before they feed him to a snake by hitting him with a rock.
Oh yeah, they smack him and then. Give it to him.
That's basically what he was trying to do. He was trying to do that to Uryu. He's trying to fucking knock his ass out.
The like piece of wall or concrete or whatever it was, that boulder. Mm-hmm. I thought he was going to shoot it as Uryu was going to throw it and then use the snake to just pierce through that.
See, now, Jose, that would have been thinking with portals right there. But no, in classic brute force fashion, he just bonked him upside the fucking head with a piece of building. This fucking guy. And then eventually he did grab him. So in a way, it still worked what he was hoping for. But, you know, maybe not the most optimal route. But he pins him against the wall. Beautiful move. I love that he's swapping back and forth between all these different versions of Zabimaru.
So fucking cool.
Yeah.
He has utility now.
And as he has Uryu pinned to the building, like, Renji uses that to pull himself up now and then begins to charge up his big fucking monkey hand and whomps Uryu through, like, fucking eight buildings. Like, insane. And after that, Renchi is still right on fucking top of Udyu.
So cool.
Not stopping yet. I think he's so fast now. And he does So-O Zabimaru Zaga Tippo. And we see the energy snake start to do kind of the move we saw against Master Masculine. He starts charging up the energy move against Master Masculine. Bites onto Udyu. Big fucking explosion. And the full shocker of it all, Udyu took no damage from that.
Yeah.
Zero damage from that because he was fully covered in blue, which is insane.
Fuck him, dude.
That is strong. That blue vein is super, super strong. He's able to just lay there and just completely protect himself with blue vein. It's incredible. So Udyu asks Renji at this point, like, oh, did you think you're the only one who got more powerful? And then Udyu goes full standing, and we hear the lovely bells, and we cut away to the classic scene that we talked about before. Yugram watching fucking Udyu go full standing just from way peaking up across the top. Now, in the manga, I want to give a special shout out to the scene in the manga, and I talked about it in the reaction. I'm bringing it up here on Bleach Boys. In the Baz B versus Yugram fight, this is what we would have got if we followed the manga continuity. It would have been going straight into Baz B versus Yugram. And there is a really good conversation that happens here talking about Udyu. And I'm going to be very interested to know if this gets brought up during the Baz B versus Yugram fight later in the anime, or if they cut the scene out as a whole. Because one thing that's interesting is Yugram is talking to some random old man Sternritter. Don't know how the fuck he got there. I assume he jumped out of the shadows, as with all the other Sternritters. But he's talking to Yugram, this old man, and he's telling him, like, hey, all the Shinsoffel have been dispersed. And Yugram goes, what about Udyu? And he's like, oh, yeah, Udyu too. And Yugram's like, on whose orders? Did you send out Udyu? He's like, oh, like, Yuha himself told me to send Udyu. And Yugram is, like, fucking annoyed. Like, he's mad. And he's like, you need to go find Udyu. You need to tell me everything Udyu does. Nobody's watching Udyu now. I did not want him to be sent out. This is the whole reason I want him to stay. And then right as the old man's like, yes, sir, I'm going to go, gets his fucking eye blasted out by Bazby. But I really like that exchange because I think – and even Bazby mentioned it. He's like, wow, Udyu bothers you that much, huh? And this is the first time that we very where Yugram speaks it, that he doesn't fucking trust Udyu. He hates Udyu. He knows Udyu is up to some bullshit, and he's been watching him on purpose this whole time. Now, the anime has been side-eyeing Udyu nonstop. We've given Yugram stares the whole fucking season. But I really like that exchange, and I kind of wish we did get that here where they're talking about, you know, Yugram didn't want Udyu to be sent out. Like, he was like, I was watching that fucking guy. Do not send him out. And then the Soul King was like, send out my boy Udyu. Send him out there. I really like that exchange. I'm sad that we didn't get it in this order, but we might still get something similar later.
We probably will.
Yeah, we have to wait for the Baz B fight to start. It's incredibly clear that I think Yugram does not trust Udyu. And I think just him asking, hey, why did he go? You sent him out. Like, we had the scene at the beginning of the episode with Yuha sending everybody out, so it would be a little redundant to keep it in.
But we saw the scene of Udyu getting sent out. What I want to see is the scene of, like, Yugram reacting to that information. Because the way that it's set up now, to me as an anime watcher, I would just assume that Yugram knew that Udyu got sent out and he's okay with it.
He needs more side-eye shots.
Yeah. So we go back to Udyu after watching this beautiful side-eye, and Udyu puts a bunch of his little tiny arrows in front of him, and then he, like, starts to spin them and form them into a ball, which he then uses to make a bigger arrow and shoots it right at Renji, who, of course, it misses Renji, but that thing fucking pierces through all the buildings. Insane. It's like a laser. It goes all the way out and just keeps going off into the ether. It's probably still, it's going to hit somebody way on the other side. It's going to hit somebody and burn the witch.
Oh my God.
Like, somebody's going to get blasted.
It's going to be a, like, a legend. They're going to be like, do you guys remember the day that there was a flash of light?
It's going to destroy Bruno's dragon.
No, my boy!
Bruno's just going to fall to the fucking ground.
He's
going to
fall to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm predicting this is going to be the main plot of Burn the Witch, is they go, I foresaw in the future a great calamity will befall. We have to find a way to stop it. And you'd think it's a meteor, but it's just Udyu's arrow is going to hit somewhere at some time.
I'm on board for that. Burn the Witch is done.
Done. I did it. Kubo, hire me.
So Udyu shoots more of his drone arrows at Renji at this point, and he blocks it with his hand. He's like, yeah, I'm just going to block that again. And this is when we start to see all the hair kind of get ripped off his arm, which was pretty fucking cool to see it go into a skeleton
did
form.
Did you notice that he, like, closed his finger like this? He made kind of like the okay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I wonder what else he could do with, you know,
true. Maybe it's things. Like that's a signaling a different sort of move. It's pretty
maybe
cool.
Maybe it just caught my eye. I was just like, interesting.
He's doing Naruto hand signs.
There you go.
Yeah. And Udyu walks forward. So it blows the hair off. It goes to skeleton form, and then Renji gets blown away. But Renji, like, as he's flying, you see this scene is like Renji kind of like eyeing down where Udyu is. And Udyu starts to walk forward, and he steps on this hair as it starts to shake. And Renji says, hee-hee Tensho, as all the hair, like, forms their own fucking monkey arm and grabs Udyu. And this is when Renji goes, like, I'm told I only need 20 seconds. And he's like, that's going to hold you for a second. And that's when we get the flashback of Renji with Ichibe. And Ichibe is telling him, you know, good job, like, with your Bankai. You're doing good.
You're finally
you can't hold it.
It
very well right now. If you ever hope to defeat an enemy, period, you need to put even more more spiritual pressure in Izabi Marui. With your current strength, 20 seconds should do it. And that's when we cut back to Renji as he grabs the now snake form that we were talking about with his monkey arm, begins to spin it around in a circle, and flames begin, and he yells, Zagai Zeko, I'm probably butchering that, and he forms this fucking, like, Frieza-esque fireball up in the sky and launches it out of you. It hits directly. We're in DBZ now, boys. It's just like a coming full on.
Just like how Ace uses the fireball, yes. The sun thing.
And the explosion was so big, it caught the attention of Kenpachi Mayuri. Like, that's how that you know was it was so really big.
Insane.
Yep.
I love how violently he was spinning.
Yeah.
To the point that it's banging on the ground. I'm like, damn.
It was a cool fucking move.
Maybe it is friction, Sam, like from that same like power.
Oh, he's like lighting it by hitting the ground. He's just like, all right, let's do it. He's creating sparks. That's a bit too high level intelligence, I think, for Renji, but I do like that train of thought.
Askin could do it.
Totally. Totally.
Askin would be perfect.
If it was Askin, I would believe that 110%. Yep. One of the nice lines with Mayuri and Kenpachi is Mayuri is like, oh, like that seems like a battle without a shred of intelligence in it, so I don't fucking care about that one. And meanwhile, Kenpachi's like hyped. He's like, oh, like that seems like an awesome battle. Like, I should get over there. And Mayuri's like, you know, if nobody gets in our way, we'll be the first to the throne. He's like, or do you want to, you know, take your sweet time and do something else? And then actually manages to shut Kenpachi up, and he's like, just keeps going. I'm like, oh, okay, interesting.
That scene was anime only.
Oh, okay. I like it.
The manga, we get the scene, the Looney Tunes scene where Kenpachi just appears behind Mayuri. Next time we see them, they are in front of Kurnaida.
Damn.
Okay.
So we cut over to Askin, and he's kind of making fun of Grimmjow on the ground, and Grimmjow just keeps going like, I'm going to kill you. And Askin's like, man, like, if you'd like begged for your life, I probably would have spared you, but he's like, now I got to finish you off. And then our boy Ichigo appears, and they just kind of fade to black on that scene. It's just a random cut.
Yeah. Like, all right.
I assume commercial break. You know, they didn't really know what they were doing with that one.
Grimmjow was sweating?
Yeah, he was stressing, dude. He's paralyzed, man. Like,
oh, shit, what do I do?
Yeah, what do you do in that situation? It's fucked.
Here's another volume skip. Ichigo does not talk to Askin until volume 71.
Damn.
Oh, my God.
We're zooming. So we cut now. We see Uryu is laying on the ground, and this time he is scuffed up. He's got, like, scuff marks all over him. And Renji's like, hey, sorry, nothing personal. And then we see Uryu's hand begin to twitch, which, by the way, gave me a little bit of PTSD about thinking about Ukitake. It's like, here we are back again. And then we see all the buildings begin to dissolving because Uryu's absorbing the Reishi from them. And Uryu's back up. He's good to go. And Uryu says, sorry, you hesitated. Is it Kurosaki's influence? Which, love that fucking line. And he goes, Sklav Rai. Feeder Zwinger, as Uryu launches drones up, and this move was so fucking cool. He creates five pillars with his little drones, and he shoots them down. But as they're shooting down, trapping Renji, they do this beautiful, again, sweeping shot. Dude, they could do sweeping shots for the whole anime episode, and I'm in love. Like, I just love those shots, man.
Let's just, you know, like, let's ask him to put that specifically for all the Bleach boys. You know, well, by the time we'll go to, what is it, Soarin' Over the World.
Okay.
And it's all Bleach stuff, so it's going to be just the CGs of us flying through it.
I'm flying through the Varveld.
Oh my god, I almost got hit by an arrow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, down, Jose. I mean,
Universal Studios could do it.
Yeah. They could. I'm on board. I'm there. So these pillars go down there, five pillars. They trap them in this classically fucking, I don't know, pentagon shape, whatever it may be. I don't know what it is. But it almost reminds me a little bit of like a Star Wars torture chamber, where it's like, now they're like, he's stunned, and he's getting, and Renji's getting like electrocuted in this thing.
Yeah, Renji's getting fucked up in this.
And Uryu's like, this is a perfect time to give a quick explanation. And he said, Feeder Zwinger can extract spiritual pressure from everything that's inside it. As long as he's in the space, his ability is able to extract Reishi inside of you and deprive you of everything you are. He says, I have deprived you of your spiritual pressure. Your Shikai and Bankai will no longer exist. And then the glass kind of breaks, and Renji drops to the floor, and we see his Zanpakutō in the base form. Doesn't even, his Asauchi form. And Uryu says, your Bankai ends here. And then he forms his classic, which we saw him do it against Ichigo, his sword arrow that he likes to keep making over and over again. And Renji's like dropped to his knees, and not looking good for him. Not looking good for Renji. And Renji says, don't talk like you know Bankai, you Quincy. And then he goes Bankai again, and we get the rawest transformation for his Bankai.
So
it comes out of his own arm, like a skeleton coming out. And he says, it isn't called So-O for nothing. And then Renji says, oh, two kings, huh? And Renji does Hikotsu Taiho. And he starts to shoot this kind of power up for another laser beam.
It's the one he used to use. It's
the classic Renji one. Uryu is getting ready to shoot his sword arrow, of course, and they're going to have a beam blast because we're in DBZ now. That's just how it goes. Renji launches his blast. Uryu shoots his arrow, and the arrow goes right through Renji's blast and strikes him right in dead center. Now, this is something that we talked about a lot on the live stream, and we're having a big debate about it. While Uryu is getting ready to shoot Renji, there is this white circle that keeps being shown on the chest, and it was dead center. And then while Renji is moving, like getting ready for the thing, the circle is tracking his center spot. What do you think that is, Jose?
I wonder if that's like where the soul chain would be.
So that's what a lot of people, they're thinking soul chain. They were thinking potentially him using the antithesis on that spot and like trying to kind of like make it so it's not a fatal,
not a fatal wound,
a fatal wound for Renji. I think it was just a fancy way to show where Udi's aiming.
Udi was going
to
shoot.
But I could be either of, it could be any of those things.
My money is on antithesis.
Yeah, actually, I'm leaning more towards that now.
Someone had a great idea, and I thought it was so funny. And, well, one of the debates that people are having is, how do you really have the anime as it is now when Renji's going, or not Renji, when Udi's going around murking everybody? Because there's got to be a discussion at the end of the series where it's like, Udi, you fucked up a lot of us here, you know? But one of the great responses to that I saw was somebody in the chat, and they said, I believe it's Sashimi. I'm going to give credit to Sashimi. I don't even know if it's him. But he said it would be he thinks that Udi was going around injuring all these people, and he's going to ultimately use the antithesis to then reverse that damage all back to Yuha. I was like, that would just be the next.
That would be next.
That is
level.
So crazy. That'd be the next 200 IQ play I've ever fucking heard in my life.
So he's just dealing almost death dealing blows to all of these Shinigami, and then he's just gonna use it up on Yuha. That would be so sick. Yuha's like, ah ha ha, I can't die. Boom, what the fuck?
Yeah, it would just be like one of those things where like his body starts convulsing. He's like, oh my god, it's like when Zoro took all the damage from Luffy.
Thank you.
That is exactly how it would go, which that's way too fucking smart, I think, for that to be the case. And also, you do have to deal with the fact that Ichigo also is already healed, he's gonna go, or he may exist, so you can't really call that damage in. But would be cool. Would it happen? I'm going to go with the Pythy saying here. It's too cool to be true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our imagination goes wild.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you for that comment. Damn, that thing was cool.
Yeah. I think it was just a way to show, hey, man, he's injuring them without actually killing them.
And we get one last interaction with Udi here. And he says, you lose. There are three reasons for your defeat. You were unconsciously trying not to kill me. You did not know about my powers. And finally, you are a Soul Reaper that I despise. And as he's kind of looking down on Renji's lifeless body. And that is the ending right there. We get the ending song, which, worth noting, we were all talking about this as well. It is playing the ending song in reverse, like the visuals for it, which was very cool. I kind of dig that a lot.
I was caught off guard by that. I was like, oh, interesting.
Yeah. And then we end our episode with a Mayuri poem. And he says, there is only you, be your own god. And we get the title for episode number 34, Baby, Hold Your Hand.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, so that pretty much confirms. So basically, we're going to have to play it by ear every episode. So basically, we need to see what the ending poem is. And then we will know what the next episode is mostly going to be about, right? For the majority, that'll kind of cover it.
I think just with how the core is going so far, I think we're going to get kind of what we got at the end of core 2. We're going to start every fight, possibly not Gerard, but start every fight with all the Schutzstaffel, and then we'll get to a big moment, and then that'll be the end of the season, and we'll finish it next season.
I think the big moment's going to be Nemu dying still. Mayuri killing Pernida. I think that's going to be the big moment.
Now, that's a big claim, Jose, because that could almost immediately be proven wrong, potentially,
in the next episode/two.
So that could be a bit interesting, but I think that'd be cool. That would lean towards us talking about how we want to kind of end on an L, you know, so that way we can set up this giant win in the future.
I think one of the last things we're going to see is the now Zanpakuto.
Yeah, also that would be really sick to see.
I think I said it last time. We are zooming so far. If they just adapted everything straight from the manga without any additional scenes, we could finish up the core. We could finish up Thousand Year Blood War with this core.
Which, as we know with this episode, it ain't going to go that quick. Like, that Renji and Udi fight took up half the episode.
That was a half of the episode, so that's like almost 10 minutes.
We got, what, 4 episodes left of this core still, and also another core, so like, how much are they adding? This is crazy. I'm so hyped about it.
Yeah, so we're speeding through, which, if they do a fight in episode, it kind of, the math checks out, so it's right there.
It's so weird to like watch this, like knowing that we all know how it turns out, but also know we don't.
It's kind of fun. For me, I've only read Thousand Year Blood War once, and that was as it was coming out.
Well, it was interesting. Somebody left a comment, and I responded to it because I feel bad. So back in the day, we talked about this before, I used to be very spoiler adverse. Hated spoilers. Hate spoilers. I would stay off of social media because I don't want to fucking see the spoilers. And when I would watch a series, I would just binge it. I would just go all the way through and through, because that way I can just enjoy it. I could watch it to my heart's content, and then we could go from there. Now, I don't really care. Like, I'll see spoilers. I'm in it for the ride of the story. It's like, show the spoilers. I would prefer not to see it, but at the end of the day, it does not ruin it for me at this point. It used to really fucking ruin it for me, and I used to be really upset.
Really mad.
But we did the manga reading live stream, and I put the title as Renji versus Udyu ? Let's read the manga. And someone left a comment this morning, like after the episode came out. Thanks a lot for the spoilers. Like, you ruined it for me. I told him, like, dude, I responded. I was like, hey, my bad. But I promise you, I did not know. I did not know. It's like, that has just been the rumor since the fucking episode, like, since the opening came out that was going to happen. And we got the Renji poem. So that was the rumor. Was the
giveaway.
I don't, my bad about ruining it for you, because I get it. But, yo, I swear I didn't fucking know.
I guess, speaking of spoilers, may I bring up the Book of Based very quick? So when I heard that there was going to be a Renji versus Udyu, I assumed this was going to be a 30-second fight and that Renji was going to take a massive L and that was going to be it. So I was like, all right, I'm going to frame this around, like, I'm sad and crying because my childhood hero, Master Masculine, is killed by Renji. So then Kubo comes down in his infinite wisdom and gives me the gift of prophecy, and I would foresee an L in Renji's future and I would be happy. But I'm like, well, I can't do that now. Because what happened was the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Dude.
Yeah, totally.
He may have taken an L, but he got a dub in our hearts.
Well, I guess I have a question. You know, good thing you brought that up, Pythes. And it's really more a question for you. Do you think with what you saw Renji and Udi's fight now, does that lessen at all Master Masculine for you?
I think it is much cooler than Master Masculine, yeah.
Now that we've seen how Renji fights and Renji's move set with Udyu, Renji, for all intents and purposes, the Master Masculine fight was very short.
Yep.
Very, very short. And the moment he does his named move, Master Masculine died. Like, that was it, man. He did not last very long.
Yeah, him and Pythes disintegrated. Yep.
So I feel like, you know, with how we saw Renji's moves now, it's like, man, Master Masculine didn't put up a very good fight. Like, he got roasted.
I'm gonna use wrestling analogy for this. Master Masculine was not a technical performer like Seth Rollins. He's a showman like Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan is not and never was a very good wrestler, but he was a great showman, and that's why people fucking loved him. Mm-hmm. Seth Rollins is both.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
This is the true. Perfect example. Okay, very good. I was wondering that while watching that, because we saw basically him do the Master Masculine move, and Udyu had just blue on. He was totally fine. I was like, what the fuck, what are you doing, dog?
Mask couldn't do it, but he took it like a man. He's just like, you know what? I'm a fighter. Let's go.
Well, Mask is so used to being immortal with James. Yep. You know, he's like, I ain't gonna fucking block shit.
Also, let's not forget, like, even if he hadn't died, like, Mask was never going to be chosen to be part of the Schutzstaffel.
True.
The Schutzstaffel are so far above all the other Sternritter. So now I have a question. How does this make Renji stack up in your mind? He still lost for the episode. Does that change anything?
It does, because I think Renji's moveset now, we have so much more knowledge on what it could possibly be. So I think this episode did a good job of showing what Renji is capable of. Now, obviously, with Udyu is very powerful. Mm-hmm. As a lot of the feats that we've seen of him now, he defeated Sinjimaru. You know, Udyu's feats are insane. So him losing to Udyu is still very impressive, because he was able to keep up with Udyu. He kept Udyu on the back foot. I mean, like, you think about it, back when Udyu and Renji were fighting Xylaparo, at a certain point, Renji had to wrap them up together and shoot Shahakusho really close to explode everybody. Like, that was where Renji was grasping at straws at, where now we see this versatility get added to Renji. And Udyu in the anime is probably, this might be a generalization, but I would say Udyu probably places top 10 in the verse at this point, especially with a lot of the powers that we've seen. I think Renji makes a good argument for being up there. Does he crack top 10? I don't know, because there's so many more powerful people in Bleach that could potentially fill those spots, because Bleach is a universe that is so filled with so many different skills and abilities, and some of the abilities are just hacks. It is what it is. Some people exist and their abilities are fucking broken. So it's hard to compare some characters who are kind of, they have a base in reality. You know, it's like they kind of have this physical prowess, and even Udyu is like, hey, your reliance on this strong will, this, you know, all you do is use brute strength. So it's hard to compare someone with brute strength when they're going against cheaters. They can just do whatever the fuck they want.
I think, like, Renji versus, like, Zaraki would be a really close, really fun fight, but, like, I still don't think he'd be able to take out, like, Xylaporo, because Xylaporo just cheats.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Him versus Mayuri would be the same thing.
Yeah.
So in wrestling, when you have two wrestlers and you're writing the storyline and you don't want either of them to look bad, but they're facing each other in a match. How do you write them? Because someone has to lose, and you don't want a really boring finish where somebody just runs in with a chair and solves it and there's disqualification. So I'm going to go back to Austin versus Bret Hart. Stone Cold Steve Austin is fighting Bret Hart in the main event of, I think, WrestleMania 13 or 15. Austin loses the fight, but he is locked in Bret Hart's submission move and he can't get out. And he passes out in a pool of his own blood instead of submitting. That is the analogy I'm using for the Renji fight. Renji loses, but he looks amazing while he does it.
I agree with that 100%.
He kind of like the Warrior's death, right? Like he puts it all out there for him.
Yeah.
Or like Whitebeard, where he died standing.
That's right, Whitebeard.
Mm-hmm. I remember that one part from One Piece.
So good.
So I guess let me ask our mid-episode question to both of you. Where does this episode rank for you for season 3?
Honestly, it might be pretty high.
Okay.
I think it's better than the previous fights we've had.
So do you think it's number 1, Jose?
I think it had a nice element of just funny early on and then just straight up badass at the end. So for me, I think I will put it up at number 1 for now.
Interesting. Pivies?
I think so too. I think it's a good mix of everything we've had so far. It's like we had a cool Ichigo fight twice, but I didn't really care for the rest of those episodes, and we had a really good talking episode, but it was just talking, and now this is just both. We had humor, we had a good fight. This is the top.
The only thing that would have that is missing, that there's no way they could have fit into this episode, would have been Shunsui's speech.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you were Fair. Able to piecemeal, Jose, you
if
would
I
take
could have a movie,
yeah, you would and, take you know, Shunsui's speech, plop it in, bada bing, bada boom.
I'd be like, you know,
number
what?
One episode
Let's
for the whole
go.
Scene. But now. I know the answer to this, but I'm going to continue to ask it. Does this episode beat the Yamamoto versus Yuha fight?
Ooh,
And I believe that's episode 6 of Thousand Year Blood War, if anybody wants to keep track.
I don't know. I'd say it's like, it's only because Udyu's in there. I will say that Yamamoto is better.
It drags it down for you. Udyu's in there. Fuck that. What about you, Pythes?
I think that as a fight, the Yamamoto fight was better. Still, it is still like the top tier. But I just enjoyed so much more of the character interactions this episode.
Okay, That's fair. The Yama one was very serious all the way through and through. Like, it really was.
And it needed to be.
I asked this question when we were watching the episode, and I got really aggro with one guy because I meant to say, where does this rank for season 3 for you? And I think I just asked, where does this rank in Thousand Year Blood War for you guys? But I meant part 3. So everybody started talking about it ranking as the whole series. And some guy was like, yeah, it's definitely my top 6. I think his name was Kevin. I was like, Kevin, there's only fucking 6 episodes this season. you can't say it's in your top 6. He's like, oh, like I meant the whole season.
Oh, shit.
I don't know. My bad. My bad, dog.
I remember that. I was wondering why you were going off on Kevin like that.
I meant just part 3, Pythies. But yeah, my bad. I definitely think this episode is very, very good. But does it beat the Yama fight? No fucking way. I think that Yama fight is still incredible. And I still think the two-piece episodes you get back-to-back, the Yama fight with Ichigo showing up right after that, still undefeated, still the best episodes of the whole thing.
Man, that sad Byakuya death, air quotes death, scene is still, it still hits me.
Yeah, still so good. Yep. Ichigo,
I got a question. Should Ikkaku have died fighting that Roncar?
So if I look at it from a storytelling perspective, it would be a very good way to set up the new threat where somebody goes Bankai and then immediately loses. That would be a very good way to show the scale of the power of the new people that are coming in. That would be crazy. So should he have died? I honestly, and I like Ikkaku. I like Ikkaku a lot.
He's great.
He's the boy.
We all love him.
I'm preaching for new Ikkaku scenes constantly. But if I knew then that Ikkaku was never going to fix his Bankai, he peaked right there. Like, that was it. It was going to be permanently broken, never to be as powerful as what we just saw, and he barely tied with Roncar. Kill him.
What if died, you know, had the Warrior's death, like kills the guy but is just dead afterwards?
Yeah.
That's fine as well. I'm fine with that. Like, I'm fine with however that works out.
Cause like there's like that whole scene where Yumichika he's calling and he's saying set up a barrier so people don't get involved and arrange a company funeral. What has Ikkaku done since that fight?
Nothing. That's why I was preaching for some sort of a new Ikkaku fight, but I don't think we're gonna get it.
It's not looking like it's in the cards, man.
Like he's a really cool character. I don't want him to die, but like should he have? I think maybe
he should have died, and we should have kept Sasakibe.
Yeah. Imagine some guy's like, haha, I stole this guy's Bankai, wait, it's broken.
That would be fucking funny. That would be so good. And then Ikaku
just goes like, you idiot.
Yeah.
Just smack
Ikaku
him.
Sees it. I didn't like that fucking thing anyways. Or Ikaku gets embarrassed that he starts using it. Like, don't show him. Like, you can't use that. It's like, I showed you that in private, dog. Like
he steals it, and then he goes to use it on a different captain, and he goes like, oh, I've got this Bankai. Goes to use it, and they're like, whose Bankai is that?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Ikaku gave the speech to the guy beforehand, like, pulled him aside. I only use this in secret. And then the guy fucking pops it right away. There's so many great options that it could have been. One of the great questions that I like to ask everybody, would we want to see Yuha, anime only scene, maybe against Ichigo, use Yamamoto's Bankai?
Yeah.
It came up when we were talking about ways that Robert Acutrone could come back. And one of them was like, what if he uses Yamamoto's Bankai, brings back all the Stern Ritters and like their skeleton forms or whatever, able to use all of their shrifts, still be crazy.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would be fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
There'd have to be a way to counter that.
Just, it would be a good also option, kind of like the big Avengers endgame fight, where now everybody gets a little fight that they could do.
Everybody's kind of like gets their moment of shine.
Yeah.
Mashiro kick into skeleton Sasakibe.
Yeah. Do you guys have anything else you want to talk about the episode?
Other than the 10 out of 10 episode? No, I'm good. I loved it.
So I think unanimously, we're all going to say 10 out of 10. I think the episode was really good. I said when I watched the first time, I think, you know, I would accept a reasonable rating. And obviously, everybody's going to have a little bit different ratings. If somebody told me that they thought it was like a high 8, I'd be like, all right, I accept that.
Yeah.
You know, because maybe it's not your favorite. Maybe you don't care about Renji and Uryu. Maybe you don't care about the new, I don't know what reason you would have. But if you give it a high 8, I get it. That's cool, man. But it's at least a high 8, low 9 episode, if not a 10. Incredible episode. Incredible work from the studio through and through. It's one of these episodes where there's not a whole ton to dissect and really dig into lore-wise or speculate on, but it was a spectacle. Unlike that fucking Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight, which we're talking about. That was dog shit.
Dog shit.
But beautiful spectacle that we witnessed here.
Feels like it was like Kubo knew. He knew it was going to be bad, so he made the episode to make it feel
yeah. He's like, I got you guys.
I got you guys.
Mm-hmm. We're going to wrap it there, everybody. Thank you guys so much for watching this episode of Bleach Boys, covering Bleach Thousand Blower episode 33. Now, we are going to go straight into the captain's meeting. On the agenda for the captain's meeting this week, you guys, we're going to talk more about that interview that I discussed earlier, where they're talking about the removing of the episodes in the course. There's about 10 questions that they talk about, and some of it is very, very interesting. Ooh. So we're going to talk more about that on our Patreon exclusive content. So if you guys want to check that out, patreon.com/weebsguild. As always, thank you to all of our supporters that are already supporting us on Patreon, specifically our captain level members. Just right now is Mr. PV. Salute. Thank you very much. And we will see you guys next Sunday for a new episode of Bleach Boys. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.